The headlines, the Russian president signs a new naval doctrine which says Washington's quest to dominate the oceans and NATO's expansion are the biggest threats. Supporters of Iraqi cleric Muqtada al-Sadr remain in the parliament building for a second day amid political deadlock over the formation of a new government. And China says it will resolutely safeguard its national sovereignty and territorial integrity amid rising tensions with the United States over Taiwan. Hello and welcome. Your world news coming to you live from our headquarters in Tehran. My name is Gisum Shahmadi. Russia's President Vladimir Putin has signed a decree approving the country's new naval doctrine, which names the U.S. and NATO as the biggest threats facing Russia. Putin signed the decrees ahead of a Navy Day parade in St. Petersburg. The new doctrine says Washington's strategic objective to dominate the world's oceans and NATO's expansion towards Russia's borders are the main challenges to the country's national security and development. Moscow views NATO as an existential threat. It cited Ukraine's plans to join NATO as the reason for its ongoing special operation in the country. Addressing the Navy Day parade, Putin said the Russian Navy would receive unique cruise missiles within the next few months.
Our Navy is constantly improving, enough to mention the latest Zircon hypersonic missile systems, which have no countertypes in the world and no barriers. Dear comrades, their delivery to the Russian armed forces will begin in the coming months.
Putin said the area of the deployment of the new missiles will depend on the Russian interests. The country has conducted previous test launches of the Zircon from warships and submarines over the past year. Hypersonic weapons can travel at 9 times the speed of sound. And now the latest updates from the war in Ukraine. Officials in the southern city of Mykolaiv say Russian bombardments have left at least 2 civilians dead and 2 more wounded. The officials call the pounding the strongest strike of the war so far. Mykolaiv is the closest Ukrainian city to the southern front, where Ukrainian forces are looking to launch a major counteroffensive against Russia. Strikes also pounded the northeastern regions of Kharkiv and Sumy. Kiev has already issued an evacuation order for tens of thousands of citizens in Donetsk. In the meantime, Moscow has accused Kiev of conducting a drone strike on its Black Sea fleet on the Crimea Peninsula. Russia says an explosive device from a commercial drone wounded 6 of its personnel. Kiev has denied any involvement. And Moscow has invited experts from the United Nations and the Red Cross to probe the deaths of dozens of Ukrainian prisoners in a jail in eastern Ukraine held by pro-Russia forces. In a statement, the defense ministry says it favored an objective investigation into the attack on the prison. The facility in the frontline town of Olenivka, Donetsk province, was hit on Friday. Pro-Russia forces in Donetsk say 53 Ukrainian prisoners of war were killed and dozens more wounded in the strike. Moscow accuses Kiev of attacking the prison with U.S.-made rockets to prevent Ukrainian soldiers from surrendering. Ukraine, however, denies any involvement. It says Russia conducted the raid to put the blame on Kiev. Janusz Podkonin is the chief editor of the MV Leti. He earlier joined us from Lugansk to tell us more about the recent jail shelling in Ukraine. Let's take a listen.
It's obvious. You can, of course, make, and it's good that the Russia invited international bodies. It's an example that nobody in this side, in our side, has nothing to hide with this. And when you look from where the shells have landed, it will be obvious investigation that everybody will see the truth and that the. There is no other way than they have been fired from the long distance with long distance weapons from the Ukrainian side. And of course, all the traces will prove it. And even now, the specialists can look from the several videos while positioning the house in the right place on the map and watching the destruction of these prison buildings. They will. Everybody can basically do the math. So. We don't have anything to hide. We're very sorry that the Kiev regime again fall to this state terrorism, and because it's just not fair. These guys were there; they did their best in Mariupol, and the Kiev regime wanted to kill them there first, and now they are killing them when they are prisoners. So very hopeless situation for these guys.
Britain's Prince Charles once again faces scrutiny over his finances. Reports have emerged that the heir to the British throne received a £1 million donation for his charity from the family of Osama bin Laden. According to UK media, he personally accepted the sum from Bakr bin Laden and his brother Shafiq following a private meeting in 2013. They are half-brothers of Osama bin Laden, the founder of Al-Qaeda and architect of the 9/11 attacks in the U.S. The prince's official office confirmed that the bin Laden brothers had given the money to the royal charity. However, it denied that Prince Charles had personally accepted the donation. The report follows a series of other royal scandals. A report in June revealed that Prince Charles had accepted £2.6 million in cash donations from the former Qatari Prime Minister between 2011 and 2015. And Iraq remains gripped by political uncertainty as supporters of Shia cleric Muqtada al-Sadr continue to occupy the parliament building for a second day. This is the second time the protesters have stormed the building in a week amid a deadlock over the formation of a new government. Sadr's movement says that the sit-in will continue until further notice. Parliament Speaker Mohammed al-Halbousi says all parliamentary meetings have been suspended. According to the Health Ministry, at least 100 protesters and 25 security personnel have been injured in the clashes. The demonstrators are opposed to the nomination of former minister Mohammed Shia al-Sudani to replace Prime Minister Mustafa al-Kadhimi. The Prime Minister has urged talks to resolve the crisis.
The political blocs must sit down and negotiate and understand for the sake of Iraq and the Iraqi people. And the language of treason and exclusion must be avoided. I call on everyone to be calm, patient, and rational and not to be drawn into confrontation. And I call on citizens not to clash with the security forces and to respect the state institutions.
Iraqi political parties have also reacted to the storming of parliament. The Fatah Alliance called for dialogue to resolve the differences among political parties. The head of the National Wisdom Movement made a similar demand. Amar al-Hakim said political blocs should hold negotiations on the basis of preserving Iraq's national interests to tackle current problems. The bloc led by Sadr won most of the seats in October 2021 parliamentary elections. However, the cleric asked all bloc MPs to resign last month after he failed to reach the two-thirds majority needed to pick a president to form a government. Our bureau chief in Baghdad, Navid Behrouz, earlier gave us an update from the Iraqi parliament. He told us more about the protesters' demands and how long they plan to occupy the parliament building.
These protesters are demanding a change of the constitution and holding early elections and a change of the political trend in Iraq. These protesters have come here in order to actually, they're opposing the candidacy of the nominee for premier, and he is against him becoming the premier. In this place, lawmakers were supposed to hold a meeting on the candidacy, but that meeting was cancelled. So this parliament, as you can see, protesters are here at this parliament and they are supporters of cleric Muqtada Sadr, and he is waiting for him. They will not leave here until the cleric orders them to.
Yemen's Ministry of Human Rights has held a press conference in Sana'a to discuss the consequences of the ongoing Saudi blockade in the country. The ministry accused the United Nations of ignoring Riyadh's violations of international law. Abdellatif Awashali has more.
Under the title Blockade on Yemen, Slow Killing of Civilians Under the UN Cover, the Ministry of Human Rights has held a press conference in Yemen's capital Sana'a to highlight the catastrophic repercussions of the ongoing Saudi blockade on Yemen despite the UN brokered truce.
The United Nations participates directly and indirectly in the killing of the Yemeni people by its silence on the crimes committed by the Saudi-led coalition. Saudi Arabia is violating the terms of the UN armistice, and unfortunately the international body has not taken any action. And there are falsification of facts and allegations that the Saudi-led coalition cares about the humanitarian situation in Yemen, and this is not true.
Officials say the United Nations is responsible for the deteriorating humanitarian situation in Yemen throughout the armistice, as it has failed to force Riyadh to fulfill its obligations under the agreement.
The United Nations is the one who monitors and inspects all ships, including food, medicine, and oil ships, but it does not inspect Saudi ships that carry weapons, and all Yemeni ships are prevented from reaching the Hodeidah port. We believe that the United Nations is responsible for what happens to civilians in Yemen because of its inability to force Riyadh to abide by the terms of the armistice brokered by the international body.
Recently, Yemenis have demonstrated in front of the United Nations Envoy's office in Sana'a to criticize Riyadh's continued detention of Yemeni fuel ships amid the UN brokered truce.
Human rights activists believe the Saudi violations of the UN brokered truce will not stop unless the world body takes real measures against the kingdom. They say the terms of the armistice should be completely fulfilled before any extension. Abdellatif Awashali, Sana'a.
China says it will resolutely safeguard the country's national sovereignty and territorial integrity, referring to Taiwan amid the rising tensions over the self-ruled island. The Chinese Air Force said that it has many types of fighter jets capable of reaching Taiwan. It said that it has a firm will and sufficient capability to defend China's territory. U.S. media have recently reported that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi could pay a visit to Taipei during her regional tour that begins on Sunday. However, the itinerary for her trip released by her office has skipped any mention of a stopover in Taiwan. Beijing says Pelosi's visit would send a strong signal to separatist forces in Taiwan. China considers the self-ruled island as part of its territory. Official data show that a U.S. economy shrank for two quarters in a row. That signals the unofficial start of a recession there, an issue denied by President Joe Biden and White House officials. They cite positive facts, including a low unemployment rate, but that alone is not enough to push economic growth. The Federal Reserve has already raised interest rates four times this year to control inflation, which is at a 40-year high.
The U.S. economy has entered a recession. Based on the official definition of a recession, when the economy contracts for two consecutive quarters, that is the definition of a recession. Recession fears for the U.S. have been ongoing for some time. One of the factors which speeded up the decline of the economy was energy prices, which have affected the prices of goods, from food to basic stuff, leading to inflation. The U.S. is experiencing over 9% inflation, something it has not experienced in over four decades.
The American economy is being bashed from pillar to post right now by a whole range of factors, but certainly it's going into recession because there's severe headwinds being caused by, first of all, the government cutting back on its spending in a ridiculous attempt to balance its budget. which it should not be trying to do in the first place, and then high interest rates compared to what they have been in the recent past, even though they're below the rate of inflation, and meaning that households are no longer borrowing, and in fact they're probably paying their level of debt down.
The U.S. president has been trying to portray this as a temporary phase, which the U.S. economy will overcome.
We're not going to be in a recession, in my view. The employment rate is still one of the lowest we've had in history. It's in the 3.6 area. We still find ourselves with people investing. My hope is we go from this rapid growth to a steady growth.
But as things are going, especially the war in Ukraine, this is anything but temporary. The mayor of New York has painted an even bleaker picture. He has said that we are in a financial crisis like you can never imagine. Wall Street is collapsing. We are in a recession.
And Spain has reported its second monkeypox death only a day after Brazil announced what is believed to be the first fatally linked to the outbreak outside Africa. The Spanish Health Ministry reported the first death on Saturday and said there are 120 others currently hospitalized. On Friday, Brazilian media reported the death of a 41-year-old man due to the outbreak in the state of Minas Gerais. The man reportedly had serious immune system problems and was being treated for other conditions. The World Health Organization has warned of further monkeypox-related deaths, stressing the need to interrupt transmissions across the continent. Last week, the head of the WHO called the monkeypox outbreak a global health emergency, the highest level of alert currently designated only for polio and COVID-19. Monkeypox has spread for decades in parts of Central and Western Africa. It primarily spreads through close physical contact and generally causes a mild disease. However, it can be fatal and cause serious symptoms. And now with that, we come to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Listeners Special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, July 31st, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, and then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Dear listeners, as the Islamic month of Muharram has arrived, mourning ceremonies and gatherings are held across the Islamic countries and other countries where Muslim communities live. Nearly 14 centuries have passed since the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, but every year, mourning ceremonies across the world are held more fervently than the previous year. On behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, I express my condolences on the mourning month of Muharram. Please stay with your program, Listeners Special. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from your radio station, IRIB English Radio, and your program Listeners Special. And here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Ahmad Farid from India, Nestor Di Fischetto from Argentina, and Nico Genoves from Italy. So Ahmad Farid, Nico Genoves, and Nestor Di Fischetto, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And of course, we've received a lot of emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. Anjum Hussein, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Suti Kati from India has sent us an email. We've received an email from Muhammad Khaku, one of our old and regular listeners from the U.S. Pekka Lito Puja from Finland has sent us an email. I wish I'm right in pronouncing your name because I don't know Finnish. The last but not the least is an email from Ali Hassan from Bangladesh. So, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with these great emails. Please stay with us. Welcome back. Anjum Hussein, one of our old and regular listeners from Kashmir, has sent us an email. Anjum Hussein says, "Salam and condolences on the occasion of the month of Muharram. I am a regular listener and I like and learn from all the programs you broadcast, especially the ones focusing on morals and ethics and Islamic teachings. Enlightening us on socio-political issues is also a very good measure. I will be writing to you more soon." First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Anjum Hussein from Kashmir. And we also do express our condolences on the occasion of the mourning month of Muharram to you and all our listeners around the world. Thank you very much for sending us this message on the occasion of the month of Muharram, and also showing your attitudes and ideas on the programs of IRIB English Radio. Thank you for that. Anjum Hussein from Kashmir, we will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Anjum Hussein, we are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Thank you again. And Suti Khati from India has sent us an email. Suti Khati says, there was a time when I received this type of magazines of Iran via post, but it's been a while I haven't received this magazine from your side. That's very much upsetting for us, since I have kept each and everything that you had sent me for almost 10 years. Best wishes for all the broadcasters and listeners. I listen to your program via your Android app. Looking forward to hearing from you. Salam and warm greetings to you, Suti Khati from India, and many thanks for sending us this piece of email. So you used to receive magazines from IRIB English Radio, and as you may know, Suti Khati from India, you are one of our old and regular listeners, and you should know that we used to send our dear listeners materials like souvenirs, like magazines, like postcards, like paper QSL cards. But after the spreading of this virus and the prevailing pandemic around the world, we can't send any material to our listeners. Unfortunately, for the time being, please accept our electronic QSL card, because sending any post or mail is not possible because of the pandemic. So we should send anything, by email, something like electronic stuff. So after the pandemic is over, of course, we resume sending you the magazines you used to receive and any material or souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. Sorry for that. So you listen to our programs via app, and that's great. Suti Khati from India, many thanks for sending us this email and reflecting your views about our programs. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Muhammad Khaku, one of our old and regular listeners. Welcome back. Muhammad Khaku from the U.S., one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Muhammad says, the month of grief and sorrow, Muharram has arrived. Muharram is the month of epic heroism and self-sacrifice, the month in which truth condemned falsehood and branded the mark of disgrace upon the forehead of all oppressors. Imam Hussein, peace upon him, did not struggle for worldly gain or power, but only to reform the community or ummah of his grandfather, and not to pledge allegiance to Yazid, the oppressor of the time. He preferred to die rather than compromise with injustice and oppression. Such clarity of vision, purpose, and commitment is lacking in the world today. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Muhammad Khaku from the U.S., and please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this email and your great description of the struggle of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, and his companions. Please accept our condolences for the mourning month of Muharram, and thank you for sending us this email. As you said, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, did not struggle for worldly gain or power, but only to reform the community of his grandfather, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. As you said, such clarity of vision, purpose, and commitment is lacking in today's world. Muhammad Khaku from the U.S., again, thank you for sending us this email. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And from Finland, we've received an email from Pekka Litopoja, one of our regular listeners. Pekka says, "Dear friends, I listened to your program a few days ago here in Kuvola in southern Finland. Reception of your program was quite good. I would be very happy if you could verify that I have heard right and this signal was originally from your station transmitter. I am 66 years old and have had this hobby since I was 12 years old. Now I am retired and I have started again this hobby. With best regards." Salam and warm greetings to you, Pekka from Finland. Thank you for writing to your radio, IRIB English Radio, and your favorite program, Listeners Special. We are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in southern Finland, in Kuvola, you said. You live in Kuvola, and that's great. And it's good to hear that the reception of IRIB English Radio programs was quite good. Please tell us your views about our broadcast, Pekka from Finland. Tell us which program or programs you like the best, Pekka. Write us soon. Thank you again. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Bangladesh from Ali Hassan. Welcome back. As I said, Ali Hassan from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Ali Hassan says, "After a long time, I started listening to your station again. Now I am one of your regular listeners. I love to listen to radio programs. Please send me your program's schedule. Radio listening and collecting postcards are my favorite hobbies. Also, I would love to receive some souvenirs from your radio stations, such as QSL cards, postcards, or other items that you send to your listeners. Thank you." Ali Hassan from Bangladesh, salam and warm greetings to you. Thank you for sending us this email. Please accept our warm gratitudes for sending us this email. So you are one of our regular listeners. As you may know, Ali Hassan from Bangladesh, sending any material, including QSL, paper QSL cards, postcards, or any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio to our great listeners is not possible at the time of pandemic. So please accept our electronic QSL card as a confirmation. And maybe after the pandemic, we will resume sending souvenirs of IRIB English Radio to our great listeners around the world. Ali Hassan from Bangladesh, many thanks for sending us this email. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Dear listeners, before we wrap up this fixed edition of Listeners Special, again, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, I express my condolences on the mourning month of Muharram. Please keep in touch with us and have a good time.
این چیزی که انسان را Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. You young students and all you dear ones who have come here from all corners are the hope of this nation and are expected to complete this mission that has been placed before you and to continue this movement for which countless sacrifices have been made. This is the straight path that the prophets of Allah have placed before mankind. This is the path that the gracious prophet of Allah, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, the last of the prophet and the most noble of them, all has placed before mankind, and he has invited them to this straight path and has guided them to the path of humanity and toward freedom from all kinds of disbelief and atheism and freedom from all forms of darkness to the absolute light.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the infallibles. In one of his speeches, Imam Khomeini has said that this man, which means Imam Ali alayhi salam, is the manifestation of all justice and equity and the wonder of the world. From the beginning of the world to eternity, no man except the noble messenger can match him in excellence. We know that in the history it is narrated that Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib is the one who matches the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam perfectly. But he is not a prophet because Prophet has said, La nabiyya ba'di, there is no prophet after me. But O Ali, you are my successor. On the other hand, we have read in the history that when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to migrate from Mecca to Medina, he left Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Imam Ali slept on his bed because he matched him, because he looked like him. Ya Rabbana salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi sallallahu alayhi. Similarity that Imam Ali alayhi salam had, it was with the Prophet. Therefore, Imam Khomeini is telling the same thing from the other way. And he says that no one in the world matches him except the noble Prophet. Why? Because we have a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which Prophet has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created my nur, and from my nur he created the nur of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Means that right after the light of the Prophet, the light of the Imam Ali was created, and from their light the rest of the world. And on the other hand, we have another hadith where the Prophet has said, Ana wa Ali abawa hadhihi al-ummah. Me and Ali are the fathers of this ummah, this nation, this Muslim ummah. Therefore, when Imam Khomeini is referring to the personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says it truly that the manifestation of all justice and equity can be seen only and only in Ali ibn Abi Talib after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who is the true successor of the Prophet, that is Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And it is because they are infallible. They are infallible. They are the role model. And the justice that we have seen in his time, we couldn't see it in the others like after him. So therefore us, the best role model as an infallible, obviously it is the Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, who was known as Amir al-Mu'mineen. And No other infallible imams used to call them as Amir al-Mu'mineen because it was specific for Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Major U.S. gun companies that manufactured the weapons behind many mass shootings made over $1 billion in revenue over 10 years, selling hundreds of thousands of assault weapons to the public each year, according to a new report from House investigators released recently. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Sharon Zhang, writer. This article is published under the heading, U.S. Gun Makers Have Made $1 Billion from Assault Weapon Sales Over the Past Decade. Stay tuned for more. Major U.S. gun companies that manufactured the weapons behind many mass shootings made over $1 billion in revenue over 10 years, selling hundreds of thousands of assault weapons to the public each year, according to a new report from House investigators released recently. The House Oversight Committee report finds that five major manufacturers collected this revenue solely from the sales of military-style assault weapons to civilians, like AR-15-style semi-automatic guns. AR-15-style semi-automatic weapons are the gun of choice for many mass shooters, including the gunman responsible for the recent massacre of Uvalde, Texas. How much are the lives of America's children, teachers, parents, and families worth to gun manufacturers? Said Oversight Committee Chair Representative Caroline Maloney in a statement, adding, These companies are selling the weapons of choice for mass murderers who terrorize young children at school, hunt down worshippers at churches and synagogues, and slaughter families on the 4th of July. In short, the gun industry is profiting off the blood of innocent Americans, unquote. Lawmakers' findings are based on letters sent to manufacturers Daniel Defense, Smith & Wesson Brands, Sturm, Roger & Company, Sig Sauer, and Bushmaster Firearms Industries, who they say use disturbing sales tactics to market their products to young men. Materials obtained by the committee show how sellers tout assault rifles' military pedigree. Wine manufacturers make sly references to violent white supremacists like Bugalda Boys. Lawmakers wrote, such weapons can often be purchased on credit, with Daniel Defense bragging that financing is approved in seconds, the report finds. These companies made the guns behind a slew of mass shootings, the report says. Daniel Defense, whose revenue from AR-15-style weapons tripled from $40 million to $120 million between 2019 and 2021, made the rifle that was used to kill 19 children and two teachers at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. Investigators also found that the shooter who carried out the deadliest mass shooting in modern history, the 2017 shooting in Las Vegas, had four Daniel Defense manufactured guns in his collection. Smith & Wesson, which was the second largest manufacturer of rifles in the U.S. in 2020, sold the assault weapons used in the mass shooting in Highland Park, Illinois, earlier this month. The 2018 massacre at Majority Stoneman High School in Parkland, Florida, and the 2015 shooting at the Social Services Center in San Bernardino, California. The company more than doubled its revenue from all long guns, including AR-15-style rifles, between 2019 and 2020, from $108 million to $253 million. Sig Sauer, which did not disclose its revenue, sold the assault weapon that was used to massacre 49 people and injure 53 others at a nightclub in Florida in 2016, the nation's second deadliest shooting in modern history. It also sold three of the weapons used by the shooter in 2016 in Las Vegas mass shooting. Sturm, Roger & Company, the largest rifle maker in the U.S., made the AR-15-style rifle and pistols that were used in mass shootings at a supermarket in Boulder, Colorado in 2021 and at a church in Sutherland Springs, Texas in 2017, which was the deadliest shooting in Texas at the time. Roger's gross earnings from AR-15-style rifles nearly tripled between 2019 and 2021, from $39 million to $103 million. Finally, Bushmaster, which claimed it couldn't report its revenue because it was recently bought by another company, made the gun that a white supremacist used to kill 10 people and injure three others in May at a supermarket in a majority black neighborhood in Buffalo, New York. A Bushmaster assault weapon was also used in the mass shooting in Newtown, Connecticut in 2012 when a shooter opened fire on children in Sandy Hook Elementary School, the deadliest school shooting in the U.S. history. The manufacturers all say that they have no way to collect and report safety data, including deaths or injuries, related to their products. Bushmaster went so far as to say that it was aware of no such deaths or injuries due to its recent acquisition by another brand. These spikes in revenues follow long-standing trends, finding that gun sales peak following civil unrest, elections, and mass shootings. Gun manufacturers not only acknowledge these patterns, but also market them as sales opportunities to investors, the report says. The report was released before an oversight committee hearing on the role of gun manufacturers in gun violence in the U.S., one in a series of hearings by the group to investigate the gun violence epidemic. It comes as lawmakers are considering an assault weapons ban, which recently passed the committee vote in the House. Data shows that assault weapons bans are effective in preventing gun violence. Research has found that after President Bill Clinton signed an assault weapon ban in 1994, mass shootings and gun deaths fell in the 10 years that the ban was active. But after lawmakers allowed the ban to end in 2004, mass shootings and gun deaths both roughly doubled.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith narrated by Sayyid Ibn Tawus in his famous book Al-Luhuf regarding Imam Hussein said on the day of Ashura. As you know, we are in the month of Muharram, the first 10 days of Muharram. This is a very solemn month for all Muslims, for all Shia, for all of the followers, and for all of the people who are fond of the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Holy Prophet, and especially Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein is one of those personalities who doesn't belong to any caste or creed or any specific group or for any religion, in fact. His message and his uprising, the reason for which he stood up and revolted, and his whole revolution, it belongs to all human beings, all freedom-loving human beings who love justice and who love fairness. Sayyid Ibn Tawus is reported to have said the following on the authority of a narrator of traditions, that on the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein alayhi salam would call the enemy to a duel, and he kept on killing whoever stepped up to challenge him, until he had killed a large number of the enemy, upon which he said, "Death is better than embarking on a life of indignity, and indignity is preferable over plunging into the fire." Right? A reporter has said, "By Allah, I have never seen a defeated one whose children, household, and companions have all been killed as calm as him, as calm and as peaceful and as tranquil as him. The men," meaning the enemies, "were fighting harshly with him, and he too was harsh with them with his sword. He attacked an army of 30,000, scattered them in front of him as if they were scattered locusts. He then returned to his base, saying, 'La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim.' There is no power or strength save in Allah, the Most High, the Most Supreme." So this is a very beautiful hadith, which not only, you know, alludes to the strength and the courage, the physical strength, and also the spiritual strength, the courage of Imam Hussein on that day, but also refers to and alludes to his tranquility, his peace, and his reliance on God in this most difficult of time. And what beautiful virtues are these? And we as followers of Imam Hussein and lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, it behooves us and it is deserving of us to inculcate and to adopt these beautiful Islamic and human virtues, you know, within ourselves as a people who emulate the Imam and who love him and who believe in his message and his who wish to continue his revolution and his uprising. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the death and indignity and the peace of Imam Hussein in his own words. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
the spotlight.